Science.
Science.
Technology.
Technology.
Medicine.
Medicine.
Health.
Health.
These four things make the world go round. Without them, we couldn't exist. This is the Monday Science Podcast, a weekly show bringing you the latest research and news in science, technology, medicine, and health, answering your questions or finding experts in the field to answer them. Your host is a pharmacist, an award-winning scientist. She leads her own research group and is the founder of King's College London Fight the Fakes. A tad bit on the qualified side. Welcome to Monday Science. Here's your host, Dr. Bahija Rhymi Abraham.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Monday Science, your weekly guide to the latest developments in the musings into my life whenever I do share it as an academic. But yes, enough about that. How are you? How have you been? How has your week been? I hope you've had a good week. Those of us that are in the UK, more specifically London, just because that's where I've been, the weather has been absolutely gorgeous and it's been lovely. What I do love about, I would say the etiquette of the appreciation of the British weather is craving for the sun, craving for the heat, and then when it happens, complaining about the sun, complaining about the heat. But anyway, whichever way, it's been a good week. Oh, what updates do I have for you? Okay, yeah, so last week I talked about in terms of what I've been up to, the talk. I was giving a talk as part of the King's College London Festival of Technology, and that went really well. Very excited to have that opportunity to talk about sort of my interest around the intersection of technology and pharmaceutical sciences. And then I also mentioned that I was invited as a keynote speaker to the UKICRS, that stands for Controlled Release Society Symposium. And it was a different, I think I mentioned it last week, that this was the first time that I had free rein on what topic I wanted to discuss as a keynote. And I took the opportunity to talk about science communication, thinking about science beyond the lab, and using my experience over the years, starting from, well, for me, science, the concept of talking to people, non-scientists, those, the general public, about my work and my research stemmed from when I was an extra in Skyfall. Yes, I was a Bond girl, sort of. No, not at all. I can't even try and claim that. But it was stemmed from that, where it was during my writing up my PhD, and I had ambitions before studying pharmacy to be an actress. And I guess the fact that I'm not an actress maybe lets me know that I was not necessarily good at that. But whichever way, I mentioned it last week, but you know, I was writing my thesis, and in the midst of writing up the thesis, reminded myself of my ambitions before I guess all of this, where I'm at now. And I auditioned, and I was accepted as an extra on Skyfall. Yes, I did get to see Daniel Craig. But whilst I was on the film set, so I'm in the tube scene, and the part that's actually in the film that you see me, there was actually more, but yeah, that's all that was there. But I'm in the tube scene, and as we were getting on and off the tube and maybe like walking through the station, so it's filmed in Charing Cross. So between Charing Cross and Embankment, there's a still active tube line, but they use that for film set. So you'd probably notice in most films, whenever they're filmed in London and they're on a tube scene, it always looks like the old Central Line tube. And that's because that's the tube that they generally use. I think there was a big thing in one of the Thor films, one of the Avenger films, when Thor gets on the tube and was asking how to get to Greenwich, I think. And somebody gave directions, and you know, obviously an actress or actor, and people are like, that's not how you get to Greenwich if you're on the Central Line, sorry, Circle Line, not Central Line, Circle Line. But anyway, so that's where, for me, my whilst we were filming and having to go on and off the tube and then have the tube being on the tube and everything, I would then in between during the breaks, like just try and go through like the corrections of my thesis that I'd printed out. And people were like, what are you doing? And I'd explain, oh, you know, I'm just writing up my PhD thesis. Oh, what's your PhD on? And that's how I started talking about my research. And it was an interesting experience because nothing beats having to talk about your science to a non-scientific audience. And then having to realize, you know, people asking you questions around, oh, so what's like, why is this important? And these are questions for anybody who's listening that is doing any form of research, whether it's your master's, your undergrad project, or anything like that, or a PhD, postdoctoral, if you're an academic or you're just interested. One of the key things is to always remember the why. And it doesn't matter what field you're in, it's important to try and understand the why of what you're doing, not so obviously have your passion, but the why, and how is it applicable to the real world? How is it applicable to life, you know? And so that was my first experience. And it was great to have the opportunity to go down memory lane at the UK ICRS symposium, the conference, and to just talk about what I've done over the years, but also with the focus on empowering scientists, empowering next generation of scientists, and also impacting society. So that's where I talked about some of the work that's been done, or that's been done that I have done with the BBC around fake medicines and things like that. And it was a really great experience, and the conference is really good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, and my PhD researchers also presented, they all had poster presentations, which is really great. You can follow my research group on, well, our website, www.therimeyabrahamgroup.com, and our social media, Instagram is our main platform, which is just at the Rimey Abraham Group, and we're also on LinkedIn as well. But you can follow our research chronicles on there, and also you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Bahija. What is my Instagram? At Dr. Bahija Rimey A. And that's what I use for all my platforms now, because it was getting too difficult to have different tags. So yeah, that was really good. And the rest of the week, well, that happened Wednesday and Friday. So Friday was the UK ICRS, and I was really tired afterwards. And yeah, so it's been good. And then this week, I'm trying to think. Gosh, I'm getting my timings all confused. But whichever way, I've had a good week. It's been a fruitful week, and I'm really trying. Don't you find time just goes by so quickly? And before you know it, you start the day and it's Monday. You're listening to Monday Science, and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday. Another Monday Science episode is out tomorrow. I can't wait. Anyway, okay. So what have we got to talk about today? What do you guys think of this new structure? So for those who have been listening for a while, you know that I experiment with different structures for the podcast. So let me know what your thoughts are. Today, we've got some interesting topics. So I'm going to talk about psychedelic drugs and the potential in mental health. What else do we talk about? Oh, there's some interesting news updates. Oh, okay. I know. I think I'm just going to start off. But don't forget, towards the end of the episode, I'm doing a thing where I'm trying to recommend events, because we've got listeners all over the world. So try to recommend some events that you can go to, some science, tech, health, medicine, some well-being events that might be of interest. So yeah, stay tuned for that afterwards. And yeah, let's start. Okay, so what's been going on? Well, in the world of science, there's been something very interesting that caught my eye. And it turns out, so there's some researchers that presented the work at the 2023 British Cardiovascular Society conference. And this was a study that looked into, they were trying to understand what days of the week is an individual likely to have a serious heart attack. So why this caught my attention was because they found that heart attacks were more likely to occur at the start of the week, i.e., Mondays. So the researchers analyzed data from over 10,000 patients across Ireland and Northern Ireland and found a spike in these heart attacks. They're specifically called STEMI. So that's ST segment elevation myocardial infarctions, which is referred to as heart attacks. And they found this particular spike of these type of heart attacks on Mondays with higher rates than expected on Sundays as well. They are yet to fully understand why this happens. Previous studies have suggested there's a link to our circadian rhythm, so the body's sleep or wake cycle, and that the timings of these heart attacks could align with a rise of hormones such as cortisol, which occur in the early morning hours when we wake up and experience stress. That's a bit worrying. But the study was conducted by leading cardiovascular researchers, and the whole aim is to shed light on the triggers that make heart attacks more likely on certain days, ultimately with the hope of saving more lives in the future. So the next interesting piece of science, actually this one is more health, I would say, but the next piece of interesting news that I found was something about synthetic human embryos. So this is very interesting. For the first time, scientists have created synthetic human embryos, which are derived from stem cells without the need for eggs or sperm. I think there's an episode where I talked about stem cells differentiating. Did I do that here? So many years ago, during my postdoc, so that's postdoctoral researcher position. So for those who don't know, once you do your PhD, some people may not stay in academia. They may go into industry, but there's a next position, that one can do, which is called a postdoctoral researcher position. And you can do that in academia, you can do that in industry. I did mine in academia. And with what I was doing, I gained cell culture experience. So that's when you're working with different cells and you're growing the cells and using them. So I did that during my PhD, where I was looking at just cell behavior and cell behavior. I was culturing these lung cells. It was just a brief segment of my work. And when I started my postdoctoral research position, there wasn't really much cell work in there. I wanted to explore the potential of using stem cells because I was working with nanofibers, and it would have been interesting to explore the potential of these nanofibers to grow stem cells or be a scaffold, which is something that is done a lot more now. But at the time, when you had to get trained up on stem cells, so with quote unquote normal cell culture, you could just do that. But when it was stem cells, you had to get ethics approval and other fun things like that. And you had to have specific training for learning how to culture these stem cells. And because stem cells can differentiate, they can change into any other cell. You also have to monitor how you culture them, how you grow them, so that they don't change into cells that you don't necessarily want. And so I remember in the training, it was a theoretical training and lab training. And in the lab training, we saw some cells that, because of the different media that had been used, it was actually by accident. It wasn't planned, I don't think, from what I remember anyway. And these stem cells had differentiated into heart muscle cells and had then started to beat, like they would pulse because they became heart cells. And yeah, it was just very interesting. So yeah, stem cells are very interesting cell line. And so this study of developing these synthetic human embryos is interesting because there wasn't any need for eggs or sperm. And the structures represented the early stages of human development. So they're offering researchers an opportunity to study disorders such as recurrent miscarriage and genetic diseases. But it does hold a lot of, whilst there is potential, but it does raise a lot of legal and ethical questions. And, you know, I had this discussion when I did the episode about brain organoids, so miniature brains that people can grow in the lab, and thinking about what's the ethics around there, especially if the mini brains have the potential to have some form of sentient ability. And so that was quite interesting. So yeah, with these synthetic human embryos, there is a lot of legal and ethical questions. So current legislation limits the cultivation, so the growing of human embryos in labs to 14 days. Beyond this point, developmental biology research becomes challenging. So synthetic embryo technology could bridge this gap and provide researchers with crucial insights into early development. Ooh, I don't know, I'm scared. questions that I would like to have answered is, if you're using synthetic embryo technology, does that mean that the embryo couldn't develop into a baby? And then also, is this suggesting that with these synthetic human embryos, they can stay like beyond 14 days, there wouldn't be any change to the structure? This is very interesting. But you know, there needs to be status and legal protection and ethical protection of these structures to remain. Yeah, it's just complex. It's just complex. But I think we need to watch this space and see what happens, really, and see how this research pans out. I'm going to keep an eye on it. So lastly, exploring the world of psychedelic drugs. Now, I have some interviews that are coming up. The first starting off in July around psychedelic drugs and looking at how that's being used in healthcare and conversations around microdosing. Feel free to subscribe. But if you haven't already subscribed to our newsletter, please do. So you can subscribe via our website, www.mondaysciencepodcast.com. And news of when the first psychedelic drugs episode that's coming out. I had a brain freeze there, sorry. A first psychedelic drug episode coming out that will be announced in the upcoming newsletter. So neuroscientists at Johns Hopkins Medicine have discovered that these psychedelic drugs have a common ability to reopen critical periods in the brain. And these critical periods in the brain are sensitive periods of brain development. In a study that involved mice, these researchers found that different psychedelic drugs reopened these critical periods for varied duration. So that was ranging from 2 days to 4 weeks. What this does, this discovery provides insight into how psychedelics work and suggests their potentials for treating conditions beyond their current studies, such as stroke and deafness. And the other thing that was highlighted from this study was molecular mechanisms that are impacted by psychedelics, including serotonin receptors, gene expression, and this is relating to maintaining or repairing the extracellular matrix, which is very interesting. Extracellular matrix in this context for this study is kind of like a scaffolding that helps with cells, and in this case, the brain cells. Actually very interesting for me and my research. So understanding these mechanisms could help pave the way for future therapeutic application and further our knowledge of brain development. In the coming months, got some episodes, some interviews that will be coming out on psychedelics, with the first being with Rachel Sumner, who's an expert in psychedelics. She's based in Auckland, New Zealand, and really delve into this topic. Psychedelics are known as hallucinogens, and they're a class of substance that appear to alter one's perceptions, thoughts and emotions. And they've been used for centuries by indigenous cultures in various spiritual and healing practices. I first started to understand psychedelics. But secondly, was listening to a Tim Ferriss podcast, and he interviewed somebody whose name I cannot remember. And they were talking about microdosing with mushrooms and the practice that some people have of microdosing. I've read studies where they mainly focused on treating mental health conditions such as depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, addiction and anxiety. And also there are other studies that have looked into sort of enhancing emotional well-being, behaviors and outlook. Psychedelics use in research seems to be experiencing a renaissance. And there are lots of studies that are out there also looking at other substances such as MDMA and ketamine and recent clinical trials. But there's also a lot of debate around the legal regulatory landscape. A lot of discussion ongoing about the safety, accessibility, and responsible use. More on this topic to come. So on to my weekly recommendations. Well, as some of you know, I am 100% a Marvel fan, and Disney Plus put together a documentary for the legend, the Marvel founding father, Stan Lee, which came out on the 16th. I'm saving watching it for next weekend. Might do an episode on it. For London listeners, what have I got for you today? Okay, if you're interested in data and data science, there's an organization called BrainStation, and they have an event this week on Thursday called Starting and Building Your Career in Data. And it's, I guess it would be a panel session from what I can see. Yes, it is a panel session, multidisciplinary panel session. Data science jobs are some of the fastest growing and most demanding technology. And so this could be quite interesting. They've got some really good speakers. They start off with trends and career paths in data, software engineering, and cybersecurity. Then they have the panel session, then an audience Q&A, networking, and a wrap-up session. This event is free. And as I mentioned, it is on the 22nd, which I believe is a Thursday. On the 20th, there's a Women in Science tour. That's by the Natural History Museum. For those who are based in America, specifically based in Atlanta, I personally would like to recommend the World of Coca-Cola tour. Last year, I went to Atlanta. There are a few drinks that were founded by pharmacists, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper. And Coca-Cola was Coca-Cola was created by Dr. John Pemberton, and he was working in Jacob's Pharmacy. I can't remember if it's his own pharmacy. And that's where the first glass of Coca-Cola was poured. When I went on the tour last year, what was interesting, a surprising interesting fact that I learned, was how they had to deal with falsification of Coca-Cola. Once it was invented, people tried to create fakes. And it's quite interesting to see how they then worked on trying to overcome the falsification of Coca-Cola. And I don't want to give it away. If you are in Atlanta or you ever decide to go to Atlanta, the World of Coca-Cola tour is amazing. Not just, I mean, for me personally, it was exciting as a pharmacist, but also, as I said, the surprising issue of a fake Coca-Cola. And then you get to see what goes into the manufacturing of Coca-Cola bottles and Coca-Cola drinks. And then at the end, there's a taste hall where you can taste the different drinks from all over the world. And it's really cool. So strongly recommend that. For those who are based in Brazil, there's a conference day exploring the power of digital dentistry. I believe it's free and it's on Thursday this week. For those who are based in New Zealand, there's the Astro Blast at the Canterbury Astronomical Society's public open night. And that is on Friday. It's going to cost you $11.43 New Zealand dollars. Did I say that right? Okay, we're just going to keep moving. But it's going to cost $11.43. I don't know why I'm saying 0.43, but anyway. And this is at the RF Joyce Observatory. And it's going to be exciting. It's a family event, and you can discover the wonders of the southern night sky with skilled astronomers, and they'll talk you through what you're seeing. You get to look at the moon, discover its secrets, learn about constellations, the closest stars, galactic core, and nebulas as well. So if you're in New Zealand on Friday, check it out. Let me know how it goes. So we've come to the end of the episode. As I mentioned in last week's episode, Thursday specials are a reboot of the first ever Monday Science recordings. And this week's episode is a throwback Thursday to episode 2. So this was my first episode interviewing somebody. So very first episode was me saying hello, Monday Science, welcome to Monday Science. And this second episode was, which was aired on the 18th of May 2020. And this was my first interview with Dr. Saskia Popescu, and we're talking about zoonotic diseases, COVID-19 and its impact on healthcare. And she answered listener questions on COVID-19. So it is a long episode, it's an hour long. So I am thinking I was going to split it into two parts, but I would just put the whole recording there and see. And I think listening to it again, it's interesting to, especially now, you know, 2023, 3 years later, to listen to what the early understanding was of COVID-19 and things to consider, such as mental health considerations in terms of, you know, around the anxieties around COVID-19, to what we know now and the experiences we've all had. So yeah, let me know what you think of that. I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Always grateful to know that people listen to the podcast. I love seeing the analytics when I see how many people have listened. But more importantly, I do hope you have a lovely week, a lovely rest of the day, and take care.
You've been listening to the Monday Science Podcast, a weekly show bringing you the latest research and news in science, technology, medicine, and health. We hope you've gotten some useful and thought-provoking info from the show, and we hope you had fun along the way. We know we did. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on our website at www.mondaysciencepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at info@mondaysciencepodcast.com. Find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Monday Science. And access episode summaries at mondayscience.medium.com. See you next week on the Monday Science Podcast.